Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy organization cares so much about programs in our area. That's why we just had the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, honoring the great memory of Truman H. Purdy. And not only that, but it raised between $25,000 and $35,000 for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA and all the great programs that they have. Now, on the business side, they take care of your personal insurance, commercial business insurance, and they find you the right insurance for the best price for you. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They are the pros when it comes to insurance. You know, it's the pros when it comes to car dealerships. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. For all of you out there who have doubts in your own lives as to whether you have the ability to do something, about whether you have the ability to accomplish something that you thought was impossible, we now bring you the play-by-play call of the day. Bartolo Colon at 42 goes deep for the first time ever.
Colon looking for his first hit of the year. Oh. He drives one deep left field. That goes Upton. Back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened. The team vacates the dugout as Bartolo takes the long trot. His first career home. Is one of the great moments in the history of baseball. Bartolo Colon has gone deep.
I want to say that was one of the longest home run trots I've ever seen, but I think that's how fast he runs.
Gary Cohen with the play-by-play call. Ron Darling with the appropriate analysis. I think that's how fast he runs. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. 42 years old. I mean, listen to the beginning of it. The beginning of it's the key. He's looking for his first hit of the season. That's what he says. Play it again. Come on. That's beautiful. You got to play it again.
Looking for his first hit of the year. Oh. He drives one. Deep left field. That goes Upton. Back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened. The team vacates the dugout as Bartolo takes the long trot, his first career home run, and there will be nobody in the dugout to greet him. This is one of the great moments in the history of baseball. Bartolo Colon has gone deep.
I want to say that was one of the longest home run trots I've ever seen, but I think that's how fast he runs.
That's rich. It's just rich.
It took like 35 seconds to go all four bases.
Gary Cohen is a great announcer. He's also a great guy. I personally really like Gary a lot. And that's a great call. I mean, what makes it great is how shocked he is. And, of course, he calls it perfectly. But the shock of it, like, Upton goes back. Like, really? Upton's like, there's no way Upton's sitting there in left field going, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back for a ball. I mean, normally this is the sequence for a pitcher. And here's Colon. I'm looking for his first hit of the year. It's a strike. It's 0-1. Don't forget Bat Day coming up on Tuesday. First 1,000 fans will get a free bat. Here's the pitch. It's tap foul, first base side. Sponsored by our good friends at Louisville Slugger and Piggly Wiggly. And the 0-2 strike three called. He's gone. Let's now bring up the leadoff hitter and get back to the game. No. If Bartolo hits it out. All right. A guy that wanted to sit out there and catch that ball was Matt Leon. KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, my friend, it's great to have you back.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. When you're in a city that has a naval shipyard that has the Northeast sector, that has oil refineries, how does it play when the $18 million a year starting quarterback says, "Man, I'm not so sure about going to work"?
Yeah, it didn't go over well, and it wasn't exactly like Sam Bradford. Had tons of political capital built up in this town. It's funny, I just saw somebody said today that Sam Bradford's peak as an Eagle may have been that 11-for-11 game against the Packers in the preseason. Remember when everyone was crowning the Eagles the world champions because they ran their base offense better than the Packers ran their base defense for a quarter. Right. And everybody was ready to anoint Sam Bradford the second coming. I guess it's good that he's back. The only thing I can think of is that his camp really thought that they had an interested suitor somewhere that they could really push the Eagles towards. And I'm guessing it was probably Denver, and then that dried up, and then they were left with nothing except looking really, really bad in the public eye because nothing's changed. And like we said before, nothing's changed for Bradford from the day before the draft to the day after.
I mean, nothing changed.
Yeah, so, you got the same contract, short term, no commitment to the long term, and he's going to start this year either way. Next question.
Right. Next, that's it.
Yep.
He's never won more than 7 games as a starter in the league. It is a 16-game league, I heard.
Yeah, and the injuries were unfortunate, and that can happen to anyone. How someone didn't sit him down and go, Sam, you've made close to $90 million in this sport, and you've never won more than 7 games, and you've only played whatever it is, 3 complete seasons. Maybe it's just best to go out there and play really good football and let the chips fall where they may and not worry about a power play right now. But that's not how the world works anymore, Steve. So.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not work that way. You and I both know that. It doesn't work that way. So, what about Carson Wentz? I mean, I'm sure the city of brotherly love has embraced this guy.
I mean, honestly, for the most part, but it's also, I don't even know if embraced is the word. I think people are waiting to see because, frankly, they don't know anything about him. I mean, hard to believe, I know, but they don't watch a lot of North Dakota State football in these parts, so... You're kind of going on a wing and a prayer with all the draft lists.
Hey, just so you know, most of the country hasn't either.
Yeah. Although I did. I talked to one of their guys. They had like a 21-station radio network out there, which I thought was fascinating. But, people don't know a lot. He's got all the measurables, height, weight, arm strength, great combine numbers, and he won. I mean, say what you want about the level, but they dominated at North Dakota State. And, I honestly think that North Dakota State, I think high-level FCS football is probably akin to maybe the MAC, stuff like that. I mean, maybe not top to bottom, but your good players at the top of FCS are akin to stuff like that, could seamlessly move into that and have a lot of success. But you don't know. And also, we talk about all Bradford's injuries. Wentz missed 8 games as a senior.
Yeah.
He returned in time to win the national championship game. If they're right, it's a good move. They're not as disastrous. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's very little, and
there is no in between on this move.
He can't be good. He's got to be great, and that's one I think of the problems is you kind of set this up where it's zero sum. He has to be a star. He can't just be a good guy. And we talked, we were throwing names around. I mean, even if he's like Matthew Stafford. That's not good enough. And Matthew Stafford's a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you got to. That's what you got to hit here to hit a home run.
Yeah, that's true. In Philadelphia, the Phillies have a better record than the Pirates.
Yeah, and that this, despite the fact, I think I was looking at the standings today. They're plus four. They're 18-14. They've been outscored by 27 runs this year.
I know.
That's hard. That's hard to do. And I think they're 11-3 in one-run games. And if I read the stat correctly, no other team in baseball has more than 7 one-run wins. So, you know, is it a? I mean, I don't like the term luck, but you know, is it? Are the probabilities falling in their way more these days? Yes. Is that chance to even out? Yes.
Sure.
But I think the thing you like is you're really at the baseline of a rebuilding program here, and you're doing this with young kids for the most part and journeymen. And you really haven't started to get a lot of the really special talented kids coming through yet. So if you're if you got some of these guys learning how to win, learning what it takes to win close games and stuff like that, when no one's expecting it, could do nothing but bode well for the future.
20% of the season is done. There are no expectations in Philadelphia. But how have the fans reacted?
I think there was genuine optimism coming into the season. Not optimism like, oh, they're going back to the playoffs this year, but optimism like, oh boy, it's going to be fun to watch Franco play a whole season. It's going to be fun to watch Nola get the ball every fifth day. And I think, you know, from those original guys, now it's, hey, you know what? Odubel Herrera, he might be an all-star. Boy, he was a great Rule 5 pick.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Cesar Hernandez, you know, could be the second baseman or at least be a piece here somewhere. Boy, you know what? This Jared Eichhoff kid is pretty good. And then, you know, I put him at the bottom of the list. He might end up being the ace of the pitching staff for the next decade. Boy, this Vince Velasquez kid. What were the Astros thinking giving up on this guy? And I maybe not give up is the right term, but including him in that deal for Ken Giles, who can't get anybody out in Houston now.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of reasons, and it's just going to keep getting better because I think every few weeks here you're going to have somebody come up because of one reason or another. You're going to get somebody get an opportunity that's going to give you a reason to watch. In addition to, oh, by the way, you know, say what you want, but they're only two games out of first in the division.
Right. The Mets lead it right now. Washington's right behind them. And it also helped that Washington just played the Cubs. So.
but the Phils just went into Miami and played a Marlins team that had won 11-12 and won the last. I mean, they lost on Friday, but in all three games they trailed by at least 3 runs. And even in the game they lost on Friday, they came back to tie. They eventually lost, but so that's what you like to see is, you know, when you got a team like young like that that never feels like they're really out of it, nothing but good things can happen.
Yeah, I think it's a great story. So I really do. I think it's a great story because, you know, you may say the fans were optimistic. The rest of the country's like, okay, they're not going to do anything this year.
And yeah, I just think it was indifferent, the rest of the country.
Right.
I think it was just assumed because, I mean, let's be real here. There was no reason with the revenue stream and the ballpark and the fan base that this organization should ever have gotten into the abyss that it did. I mean, there's a reason there's a whole new front office in place, because that should never happen. I mean, you're going to have down years. You know, you're not going to be a playoff team every year. You're not going to win 100 games every year. You know, life happens. But to get to that point where they were at the beginning of last year, where you just looked and you're like, oh, my goodness, they're running the same starting lineup out on this opening day that they did the last opening day, and all it is a year older. What
right.
do they not get?
Right.
And to be where they are now, it's pretty incredible. And I think that's what – there's very few times in sports where you get to enjoy something with no expectations, where you can genuinely just take it for whatever happens, and that's what you're getting right now with the Phillies.
I mean, when your former general manager is shaking David Ortiz's hand as he's rounding first base, that tells you a lot.
Yes. Yes, it does. And – when you really look back at some of the things that were said and some of the decisions that were made over the last 3 or 4 years of the previous regime, you just even more so now than when it happened, you just went, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, very. As always, Matt, very interesting. Appreciate it, pal.
I do my best. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks. Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. We'll talk about some night games for Penn State football coming up as we continue. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Nice day out there today. During one of the breaks, Jennifer Wakeman was telling me her and her husband Brad went out to play some golf this weekend, and guess what? Her game is rounding into shape.
Chip and pitch. Yes.
Great news. I like that. She played very well last week. I'm glad to see that her and Brad are getting out there. That's great.
Your newest teammate already sharpening up for the 26th annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Dave Ritchie, he's out there been working on his game. Then the other guy is doing nothing. Oh, well. Just shows up. It's kind of like they do everything except bring a limo for the guy. Said something like, look, in digital media, we're big. I'm thinking, okay. All right. Night games at Beaver Stadium. There's going to be two, Ohio State at 8 o'clock. And that's expected. That's become an annual. Well, I can't remember the last time I did an afternoon Ohio State game. 2003 was late afternoon. 2001 was definitely in the afternoon. All the other ones have been pure primetime night games. Iowa, then on the 5th of November, will be a 7:30 start. Which, by the way, would be a 6 o'clock airtime on the network. And then they have a game at Rutgers. Now, this one surprised me. I really didn't think on November 19th. I thought if the game were in October or September, yeah, it would be a night game. But no, it turns out that this is going to be a night game. It's going to be an 8 o'clock start. As I pointed out earlier, that actually didn't hurt. Doesn't hurt me, actually. Surprising. But yeah. Not bad. I'll take it. Everything else, we have to wait and see. And I don't really know where, what I don't mind. Now, maybe you, the fan, mind. I don't mind the 12-day out deal. But I can't stomach the 6-day out thing. The 6-day out thing really bothers me. And if, I'm talking about from a fan's point of view, because obviously I'm used to start times being all over the lot. I mean, in what I do, you're told you to show up at this time, so you show up at this time and do the game. Okay. But for the fan, you're the ones that have to go out there and you have to, you're the ones that have to buy the tickets, travel plans, things like that. Everything I've got is pretty much handed to me in a silver platter. In terms of what time I'm supposed to be there and so forth. That's not the way it is for you. I mean, for you as the fan. I don't know. It bothers me. It does. The 6-day thing. Because you can tell 12 days out what the game is going to be. I mean, it's not like the way they flex things in the NFL, they do it about a month out. All right, that Tennessee-Jacksonville game that we thought was going to be so awesome back in July is not so awesome now. Let's go with the Bengals and the Steelers. Can we change that? Yeah, great idea.
Well, Tennessee and Jacksonville drafted pretty well. That could end up to be a pretty good matchup here in a year or two.
Yeah, year or two, but not this hour. Not at this hour. So, so they can do that. But 6 day out windows in college football, really, what's changing in the 6 days? I mean, what? What's changing in the 6 days? I don't understand. I don't understand what changes your mind so dramatically. There's not one time have I ever seen a game change up based on what I saw. I've seen times where I thought for sure it was going to change up, and it changed nothing. The Penn State game was at the same time they said it was going to be. Great. That's the one area of what Notre Dame has done with NBC that I really respect. All the start times in their games are predetermined. Talking about home games. All right, final half hour coming up. Our thanks to Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia and Adam Bittner from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette for joining us on today's show. Bottom of the hour, news is next. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A Steve Jones argument.
You got to him. It finally happened.
That's good. It's one of the great things. We're all friends at the station. I mean, we really are. Jen, Allie, Drew, Mark, you, me, Kevin. So we all... That's why Mark and I go back and forth on this little thing, and we have a good time doing it. We were laughing about it the other day out at the golf course about it. I really like and respect Mark Lawrence a lot, so that's why we have a good time.
Come to think of it, he left early today. He must have recorded that, and that's when he took off. That was a mic drop walk off for Marky.
Yeah, yeah. He dropped the mic and walked out. It's a Kobe Bryant moment for Mark Lawrence. Boom.
And it's only Monday.
So I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Okay. On the promo, and you know I'm going to do this, I'll say, tomorrow I'm going to have an argument with myself. One of those civil moments. Time now for our sports bozo of the day.
Yeah, having an argument Mark with Lawrence. Yourself, not to be confused with the bozo of the day segment.
And I'm so bitter, it's Mark Lawrence. No, I'm just, it's not. No, it's not. Sports bozo of the day is still Sam Bradford. Come on. I'm sorry. You can't. I'm not going to show up for work. Now he's going to. But, what are you doing? A hardworking city like Philadelphia, where the definition of blue collar is absolutely there. I don't think that you can look at him and go, I've got issues here. Really? You're going paycheck to paycheck? I've got issues. You don't. You're a quarterback in the NFL. Show up.
I was going to toss in a bozo honorable mention for Dwayne Wade, who was shooting layups on Saturday night during the Canadian national anthem.
Yeah, I know. You do have to show respect.
I think that's an NBA rule that you have to stand still during both anthems.
Well, it's also a common sense rule.
Sure.
I've done games with the, and actually in other sports, the Japanese national volleyball team. So I was there for the anthem of Japan. I did a game once with the Russian national basketball team playing Penn State in hoops. And obviously I did the football game in Ireland. You know, you stand with respect. Now, when the national anthem is played, I stand at straight and I put my hand over my heart when the Star Spangled Banner is played. But when someone else's anthem is played, I stand there with respect. And that's what you have to do. And, yeah, maybe an NBA rule, obviously. Shooting layups, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, well.
They must not have been going in or something. They wanted to get one more in the bucket before the game started or something.
You know
but
what?
Still, doesn't mean you stand below the basket and keep shooting.
You'd be amazed if you hit the first two in the game. It really does change everything for you. Oh, well. Night games, Beaver Stadium, October 22nd is Ohio State. November 5th is Iowa. They're both at night. Ohio State will be at 8 in the evening. And the odds are on October 22nd, it's probably, you know, a decent, crisp night. But, you know, it can go one way or the other, but that's going to be not overly cold. It's not going to be overly warm either, but normally that works out pretty well. Now, November 5th, 2 weeks does make a difference. It's getting a little chillier at night. That's going to be a 7:30 game with Iowa. It's going to be a BTN game. And then there's the Rutgers game. There is nothing like the week before Thanksgiving in New Jersey at night. Oh, so that's going to be a prime time. That's an 8 o'clock game. So we do now know the kickoffs for one quarter of the schedule.
So we may get a kickoff one or two more. We may get maybe one or two more time announcements before end of August rolls around.
That's a good question, Sean. Right now, the primetime games are all being announced. I'm not so sure there's actually, because I remember Michigan said originally there were going to be no primetime games at Michigan this year. Now, that's why I knew that one was not going to be on the list. Oh, well. 800-795-9565. I was just surprised at the November 19th one. I mean, I realized, you know, that, but, geez, again, Prime time is where you want games now. And these networks, every one of them is built around primetime live sports. And primetime live sports is what makes them go. I mean, you know, you can talk about all the first takes you want. Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless 101. In reality, nobody cares. Okay? Nobody cares. It's about the games. Dick in Milton. Hello, Dick. I hope you had a great weekend.
Well, it rained a lot, and I just said I've been outside mowing grass for 3.5 to 4 hours, so I missed most of your show. I mean, I'm not sure when it's going to stop raining again, so I took advantage of today. Anyhow, but I wanted to ask you, since I missed the first hour and a half of the show, and Penn State was in the news like every day since about Thursday or Friday. How many subjects did you cover on Penn State today? You had obviously Joe. You had the gymnastics team, you had alcohol in the stadium, among others, mm-hmm. And the only good thing I saw out of the whole thing was that Penn State got another top recruit, wrestling recruit from Colorado. So I'm not sure how many you might have covered or didn't cover.
I covered Joe, and I talked about that, and I said that in the 32 years I was around him, I said I saw him make a lot of decisions, and not just player decisions, other decisions as well. And that the stories that I have seen circulated absolutely contradict the decision maker I saw. And I saw him make a series of decisions on a wide variety of things, some of which a lot of people would not know about. And this is a direct contradiction to what I saw. And then I said the most important thing, regardless, good or bad, is I want the truth. And that's it. And if you can get the truth out there, then I want to know about it. It's going to be obviously a lot more difficult to find it now because so many people along the way have now passed away, and not just Joe, but others, that makes it difficult. But again, I'm just going on my personal experience as to what I saw somebody do as a decision maker, and not just what play to call whether to suspend a guy, whatever. I'm talking a wide variety of things I saw. These stories are a 180 from what I saw for 32 years. That's just my personal experience.
Well, it's a lot of difference from what everybody heard for years and years. But and this is my only, this is my only comment on this. Unlike today, where I could get on this computer and Google something and find out stuff in seconds. You know, back in the 1970s, if somebody came to anybody and said, "Oh, this was happening, this might happen," do you realize how long it would take to research this and find out if it was prevalent anywhere? I mean, it's mind-boggling. In fact, I actually did. I actually Googled it up to see what it was, and stories like that were never even covered till the minute till like 1983 or 4.
Right.
I guess that's my point.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I had not thought of it in that vein. It's interesting.
Well, you know, the internet wasn't around then. It wasn't like somebody walk up to Joe or somebody and say, "Geez, this might have happened." The guy gets on the internet and look at his computer and goes, "Man, this is a real issue. We got to get a handle on this." You know, how long would it take for somebody to go to somebody and say, "What do you think about this? Could this be possible?" I guess there's a lot of factors involved.
Right, a lot of factors. And I think, and the other point I made earlier in the show was this. So far, Penn State has made all the payouts, from what I understand. And now there's a request into the insurance company about this, and the insurance company doesn't want to pay out.
That's my whole issue with it.
Right. So then the next part is that what happened was that the judge ruled on the other day was, is there a deposition that exists from this year, from whatever particular year, 71, 76? And he said, yeah, there's a deposition that exists. Now, the deposition was taken in 2012, but all he said was, yes, the deposition exists, so for the sake of argument, we'll move forward. That's what he ruled. Okay, and then Dr. Barron, I mentioned, came out with a very strong statement yesterday about all of it, and it was very strong, in fact. As for alcohol in the stadium, I did not address that, and at the Jordan Center as well, I believe.
Well, it only affects a few people compared to the 100,000.
You know what's interesting about that? And I did bring this up on the show when the last time I had Sandy Barber on the show. I did bring it up, Dick. And I had done a lot of reading on this because I knew it was something that was possibly in the wind. So I wanted to see how it affected other places. And I think there are 22 schools that sell alcohol in the stadium and arena. Now, some of them are pro stadiums that share with a college team. Syracuse, for example, does sell alcohol, but it's just their place. West Virginia warped over and went into this area and started selling alcohol in the stadium. And what happened with them was really interesting, is that the number of incidents, believe it or not, Dick, actually went down. So they wanted to find out why. And a couple of reasons. One happened to be, instead of binge drinking before the game and then feeling like you're dry before the game, people kind of went, had one here, one there before the game, knowing they could have one in the stadium, and then they'd have one in the stadium and whatever, and then they'd finish out in the afternoon. So they really spread it out a lot more and weren't that, and actually dropped the incidents in the stadium. Second point is, you and I both know in the stadium it's not going to be cheap.
Well, I understand that.
I mean, how many times have you and I gone to ball games, Dick, and you go to the concession stand?
I watch other people pay $8 for a beer, not me.
Yeah, I've never bought an alcoholic beverage at a ballpark ever, or a stadium ever, or an arena ever. But I've walked by and I've noticed the numbers.
It's incredible.
And the number, people
pay for it.
The number wasn't in my budget.
I was going to say at West Virginia, maybe outside they were drinking moonshine. They don't sell that in the stadium.
Oh, man. I've been there on some crazy nights, Dick.
Yeah, we were out to West Virginia and Penn State the one time. In fact, it was the time I sat behind Fran Fischer at the game. He was a fan there. And the walk from a parking lot into the stadium was brutal. I mean, it really was. It was like through a mobile home park just on the road. And the people were nasty.
I've been there, my friend, when I have seen the couches burn.
Yeah. Well, as I say, the other issue was the gymnastics kids, and I'm not sure where that's going or what's going on with that. I hope they resolve it.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the Collegian also did. I saw the story the Collegian did, and this followed up the story the Collegian did on the women's hockey program. Did you see that one too?
No, I just read the other one online this weekend. On the gymnastics.
The one thing that I think it's something that in an athletic department, you do have to look into it. You have to make sure that the coaching methods match who you are as a university and as an athletic department, just to make sure. And the other part is you also have to make sure as to whether or not it's sour grapes by former athletes. And then find out what the truth is. In other words, talk to the former athletes, get their side, get the side of the coaches, get their side, and then decide. It's not going to be easy, but
no.
I think you've got to somehow get both sides so that you can at least get perspective on each side. But be a good listener, ask good questions, and then come to some sort of conclusion as to what you think a decision should be.
Well, this isn't a comment necessarily on the story itself, but you know this better than I do. A sport like gymnastics with a very small, limited squad, so they have some kids maybe are sophomores and juniors are pretty good, and all of a sudden they bring in somebody that's actually better. So consequently, maybe that girl that's been one of their better athletes, better their starters, and she's pushed back a little bit. And there's the sour grapes part of it to me, in a sense. It's not like football in a sense, because the numbers are limited in gymnastics. It's they just are.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, it's a judged sport.
Right.
For example, you love wrestling. Well, if you and I go out at a weight class and you and I wrestle off and you defeat me, you're wrestling this weekend. There's
right.
no judgment here. You beat me. Meanwhile, in gymnastics, a judge sport, now becomes subjective. I don't know.
I was going to, my last comment, if you see Coach Sanderson, if he's lacking some teams because they're pretty good, maybe you could get a match with his second team.
that happens.
The second team's pretty good.
That happens 4 out of 6 days a week.
I know.
They have to get a day off.
This morning, I think his second team would be better than most first teams all around the country.
That was Notre Dame football coming out of World War II.
Yeah.
Coming out of World War II, there are a lot of people who said Notre Dame's second team was so strong, it may have been the number two team in the country. Penn State Wrestling may have the number two ranked team in the country sitting in their own wrestling room, and it's not the starters.
They're going to be pretty good. It's going to be if you win the wrestle off set there, you're going to be a pretty good wrestler. That's the best I'm going to tell you.
You got
all right,
that
I'll
right.
I'll let you go, Steve. Thanks for the update.
No, good point. Appreciate it. Thanks. We will come back, wrap it up. Dick took 3.5 hours to mow his yard today. 3.5 hours. Why? Because of all the rain we've had. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Hola, buenos dias. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Whether it's personal insurance, commercial business insurance, they take care of all of it. And they get you the right insurance that fits what you need, and they make sure that you get it at the best price because they know budget's important to you as well. And if there's a claim, they act as if it happened to them. You always want to be surrounded by pros. Purdy Insurance falls into that category. Same story about Sunbury Motors. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So, yeah, we did address all that stuff today.
Also, one thing to bring up, the Penn State women's rugby team, fifth consecutive national championship winning over the weekend.
Yes, that's in club sports, by the way, and they've been a great club sport. They had talked for a while about, instead of women's hockey, they had talked about women's rugby as a possibility to balance off the men's program because they were looking at numbers, obviously. And Title IX is very important on numbers. And when they were going to put the men's hockey program out there, they did talk for a little bit. I don't know how often, but a couple times I know it was mentioned, hey, what about women's rugby? There's a lot of numbers in women's rugby, and on a club level, quote, we're pretty good at it. But then they finally decided, no, we've got the rink, and the rink's top shelf. Let's go with women's hockey. That way you get two hockey programs in there. And that's what it came down to. Let's see. Penn State baseball hits the road. They've got Pitt coming up 6 p.m. on Wednesday. Then they go to Lincoln to take on Nebraska for a three-game set. Meanwhile, the women's softball team is going to be hosting the Big Ten Championship this week. Penn State, in fact, will get a first-round bye. They're the number four seed. They'll get the winner of Nebraska and Purdue. So that actually starts on Thursday here at Beard Field. First time Penn State's ever hosted the Big Ten Women's Softball Championship. The number one seed, obviously, is Michigan. Michigan is awesome at softball. I think they won the national championship a couple of years ago. All right, off and rolling for another week. The Phillies are off tonight, and so am I mentally. But for the last 2 hours, you figured that out. If Bartolo Colon can hit a home run, you can accomplish anything in your life, too. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.